The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. For the next half hour, I will be reading a bunch of stories for you guys. And our first story today is called Rainbow Fish by a man called Marcus Feister. And here we go, the rainbow fish. A long way out into the deep blue sea, there lived a fish. Not just an ordinary fish, but the most beautiful fish in the entire ocean. His scales were every shade of blue and green and purple, sparkling silver scales among them. There's a picture of the fish. He really does look pretty. The other fish were amazed at his beauty. They called him Rainbow Fish. Come on, Rainbow Fish, they would call. Come and play with us. But the Rainbow Fish would just glide past, proud and silent, letting his scales shimmer. One day, a little blue fish followed after him. Rainbow Fish, he called, wait for me. Please give me one of your shiny scales. They are so wonderful, and you have so many. You want me to give you one of my special scales? Who do you think you are? Cried the Rainbow Fish. Get away from me. Shocked, the little blue fish swam away. He was so upset, he told all his friends what had happened. From then on, no one would have anything to do with the rainbow fish. They turned away when he swam by. What good were the dazzling, shimmery scales with no one to admire them? And so now he was the loneliest fish in the entire ocean. One day, he poured out his troubles to the starfish. I really am beautiful. Why doesn't anyone like me? I can't answer that for you, said the starfish. But if you go beyond the coral reef to a deep cave, you will find the wise octopus. Maybe she can help you. The rainbow fish found the cave. It was very dark inside, and he couldn't see anything. Then suddenly two eyes caught him in the glare, and the octopus emerged from the darkness, the big octopus, very scary looking. I have been waiting for you, said the octopus with a deep voice. The waves have told me your story. This is my advice. Give a glittering scale to each of the other fish. You will no longer be the most beautiful fish in the sea, but you will discover how to be happy. That's a very scary looking octopus. I can't, said the rainbow fish, but the octopus had already disappeared into a dark cloud of ink. Give away my scales? My beautiful, shining scales? Never. How could I ever be happy without my beautiful scales? Suddenly he felt the light touch of a fin. The little blue fish was back. Rainbow fish, please don't be angry. I just want one little scale. The rainbow fish wavered. Only one very, very small, shimmery scale, he thought. Well, I wouldn't miss just one, would I? Carefully, the rainbow fish pulled out the smallest scale and gave it to the little fish. Thank you very much, the little blue fish bubbled playfully as he tucked the shiny scale in among his blue ones. After a rather peculiar feeling came over the rainbow fish. For a long time, he watched the little blue fish swim back and forth with his new scale glittering in the water. He was so proud of himself. The little blue fish whizzed through the ocean with his little fancy scale flashing. So it didn't take long before the rainbow fish was surrounded by other fish. Everyone wanted a glittering scale. The rainbow fish shared his scales left and right, and the more he gave away, the more happy he became. When the water around him filled with glimmering scales, he at last felt at home among the other fish. Finally, the rainbow fish had only one shining scale left. His most prized possessions had been given away, yet he was so happy. "Come on, rainbow fish," they called. "Come, play with us." "Here I come," said the rainbow fish, and happy as a splash, he ran off to join his friends. And there they all are. They all have one scale, even the rainbow fish, and they're all glittering so proudly, and they're all ready to play with him, and they're playing now in the ocean. And that's the end of this story about the rainbow fish and how he learned he could be happy. Now, our next story is a very old story, but a very famous one. It's called Harold and the Purple Crayon by Crockett Johnson. Here we go. One evening, after thinking it over for a time, Harold decided to go for a walk in the moonlight. Now, there wasn't any moon, and Harold needed the moon for a walk in the moonlight. So he needed something to walk on. He has his purple crayon with him. He made a long straight path so he wouldn't get lost, and he set off on his walk, taking his big purple crayon with him. It really was a big purple crayon. But he didn't seem to be getting anywhere on the long straight path. So he left the path for a short cut across the field, and the moon went with him. The shortcut led right to where Harold thought a forest should be. He didn't want to get lost in the woods, so he made a very small forest with just one tree in it. It turned out to be an apple tree. The apples would be very tasty, Harold thought, when they got red. So he put a frightening dragon under the tree to guard the apples. Ooh, it was a terribly frightened dragon. It even frightened Harold. He backed away, his hand holding the purple crayon shook. This is all what Harold is drawing along as he walks along with his purple crayon. Suddenly he realized what was happening. By then, Harold was over his head in an ocean. Oh, he's sinking. He came up fast, and in no time he was climbing aboard a little boat. He quickly set sail, so he draws a sail on his boat, and the moon sailed along with him. After he had sailed long enough, Harold made land without much trouble. He stepped ashore on the beach, wondering where he was. The sandy beach reminded Harold of picnics, so the thought of the picnic made him hungry, so he laid out a nice, simple picnic lunch. I can't really see what he's drawing to eat, but there's a lot of food there. Oh, there was nothing but pie. But there are all nine kinds of pie that Harold liked the best. When Harold had finished his picnic, there was quite a lot left. He hated to see such delicious pie go to waste. So Harold left a very hungry moose and a deserving porcupine to finish it up. And off he went, looking for a hill to climb to see where he was. Harold knew that the higher up he went, the farther he could see. So he decided to make a hill into a mountain. If he went high enough, he thought, he could see the window of his bedroom. He was tired, and they felt that he ought to be getting to bed. He hoped he could see his bedroom window from the top of the mountain. But as he looked down over the other side, he slipped. Yikes! And there wasn't any side of the mountain. He was falling in thin air. But luckily, he kept his wits and his purple crayon. He made a balloon, and he grabbed onto it. And he made a basket under the balloon, big enough to stand in. He had a fine view from the balloon, but he couldn't see his window. He couldn't even see a house. So he made a house with windows, and he landed the balloon on the grass in the front yard. None of the windows was his window. He tried to think where his window ought to be. So I guess that's not his house. He made some more windows. He made a big building full of windows, and this time it's an apartment building. He made lots of buildings full of windows. He made a whole city full of windows, but none of the windows was his window. He couldn't think where it might be. So he decided to ask a policeman. The policeman pointed the way. Harold was going anyway. But Harold did thank him. And he walked along with the moon, wishing he was in his room in bed. Then, suddenly, Harold remembered. He remembered where his bedroom window was when there was a moon. It was always right around the moon. And then Harold made his bed. So he drew his window with the moon peeking in the window. And then he made his bed, and he got in it, and he drew up the covers that he had drawn. The purple crayon dropped on the floor, and Harold dropped off to sleep. So that was their adventure with the purple crayon, he and the moon. And that's the end of that little book. Now, our next story is a fairy tale, a very old tale, that you may have heard or you may not have heard because it's not as popular as some of the others. This one is called Thumbelina. Once upon a time, a tiny maiden named Thumbelina lived in a garden. She made her home under a flower. Her bed was a walnut shell, and she had a rose leaf for a blanket. Thumbelina loved living in the garden. All of the bumblebees and dragonflies were her friends. One night, a toad crept through the garden, big toad, saw Thumbelina sleeping and thought, "What a pretty little wife she will make for my son." Picking up the bed with Thumbelina in it, the toad hopped away. When Thumbelina woke, she found herself on a lily pad far out in a stream. The two large toads were staring at her. The older one told Thumbelina, "Meet my son. He will be your husband." "Croak, croak," said her son, lifting his hat. Thumbelina couldn't bear to think of marrying the toad. As the mother and son swam away, she began to cry. Luckily, some fish had been listening nearby, and they felt so sorry for Thumbelina. They sent her lily pad floating downstream. Thumbelina sailed past many towns, finally reaching a beautiful country. There she goes with the fish, helping her to go downstream away from the toads. There she wove a bed from blades of grass, drank the dew from the leaves, and ate the honey from the flowers. When the first snow came, Thumbelina took shelter with a field mouse. One day, the mouse took Thumbelina to call on a very rich neighbor, the mole. As they walked through the tunnel to his grand underground home, they came across a dead swallow. Thumbelina was very sad, but the mole just said, "How happy I am not to be a bird." He ordered his workers to cover up the hole in the tunnel roof through which the swallow had fallen. So that poor swallow had just fallen through this hole. That night, Thumbelina could not sleep. Taking a blanket, she crept out of bed to the tunnel. "Farewell, dear one," she whispered. Spreading the warm blanket over the swallow's cold body, she laid her head on the bird's chest. But what did you think she heard then? The thump of a heartbeat. The bird was not really dead, only frozen. and the blanket had warmed him back to life. All that winter and on into spring, Thumbelina secretly visited the swallow, bringing him food and drink. Then one day she rushed to him crying, "The mole wants to marry me!" Knowing that Thumbelina didn't want to marry the mole any more than she had wanted to marry the toad, the swallow said, "Fly away with me." Thumbelina quickly agreed. She climbed on his back, and away they flew. After many days, the bird set Thumbelina down gently in a field of flowers and welcomed her, Thumbelina. As the tiny people who lived among the blossoms rushed up and welcomed her, Thumbelina felt warm and happy. Finally, she had come home. That is such a nice story. One more story of a fairy tale, another old one. It's called Rumpelstiltskin. Once a miller had bragged about his lovely daughter to the king. He claimed that she could do anything. She could even spin straw into gold. The miller didn't mean to lie. It just popped out. "Well, bring her to my castle," said the king. "My advisors need more gold." So the miller brought his daughter to the castle. When the king saw her, he fell in love. But his advisors locked the poor girl in a room full of straw, saying, "Spin this straw into gold by morning. If you cannot, then your father will be put to death for lying to the king." The poor girl knew she could not spin that straw into gold. When she began to cry, a tiny little man appeared. He promised to spin the gold if she would give him something in return. "My necklace," the girl offered. The little man agreed, and in no time he spun all the straw into gold. The king was amazed and thanked the girl, but his vague advisor locked her into an even bigger room full of straw and demanded more gold. Once more, the tiny little man appeared. Again, he promised to spin the gold into return for something. "My ring," the girl offered. The little man agreed, and he spun every bit of that straw into gold. This is real gold. The king was thrilled, but his advisors demanded even more gold. "They are so greedy, aren't they?" "Fine," he said, "but if she spins the gold again, I will make her my queen." As the little man appeared again, the girl had nothing left to give him. "I will spin more gold," the little man said, "if you promise to give me your firstborn child." The girl believed she would never have a child because she thought the advisors would never let her marry the king. "Well, very well," she said, "I agree." When the king's advisors saw all the gold, they were delighted. And when the king embraced the miller's daughter, he swore that he would love her always. They were married, and in no time the new queen gave birth to a baby boy who was the joy of her life. But on that baby boy's first birthday, that little man appeared once more. The queen begged and pleaded to keep her child. The little man finally agreed to release her from her promise only if she could guess his name in 3 days' time. On the first day, the queen tried name after name, but to each the little man shook his head. On the second day, the queen sent her servants out to gather every name in the kingdom. But still, she couldn't guess. Oh dear, was she going to have to give away her baby? On the third day, she had almost given up hope when one of her handmaids came running into the room. She had been walking in the woods when she overheard the little man singing. "Oh, what a delightful game! Oh, Rumpelstiltskin is my name." And there he goes off, singing proudly, while the maid peeks around from behind the tree. That evening, the little man came to claim his prize. The queen asked, "Is your name Peter?" "No," he replied. "John?" "No." "Ralph?" "No." "Albert?" "No." And now the queen smiled. "Is it Rumpelstiltskin?" At that Rumpelstiltskin, excuse me, that's a hard name to say. At that, Rumpelstiltskin stamped his little feet and threw into a rage. He ran away as fast as his legs would carry him, and he would never be seen ever again. And the queen kept her little sweetheart baby, and she lived happily with her king. And that is the end of that. This story is called The First Tomato, and it's written by a lady called Rosemary Wells. She also drew the pictures. Claire ate only 3 spoons of cornflakes for breakfast. On the way to school, her shoes filled with the snow. Ooh. By 11 in the morning, math felt like it had been going on for 2 hours. Lunch was Claire's least favorite, bologna sandwiches. At playtime, Claire was the only girl not able to do a cartwheel. Once again, the bus was late. Claire needs a visit to the bunny planet, so it looks like she fell asleep. Far beyond the moon and stars, 20 light years south of Mars, spins the giant bunny planet, and the bunny queen is Janet. So Claire has fallen asleep on her bench waiting for her bus, and she's dreaming about the bunny planet and the bunny queen holding her. Janet says to Claire, "Come in, here's the date that should have been." And it's called, behind the door it says, "The First Tomato. I hear my mother calling when the summer wind blows. Go out in the garden in your old, old clothes. Pick me some runner beans and sugar snap peas. Find a ripe tomato and bring it to me, please. A ruby red tomato is hanging on the vine. If my mother didn't want it, that tomato would be mine. It smells of rain and steamy earth and hot June sun. In the whole tomato garden, it's the only ripe one, and oh, it's a big, juicy one. I close my eyes and breathe in its fat red smell. I wish that I could eat it now and never, never tell. But I save it from my mother without another look. I wash the beans and shell the peas and watch my mother cook. I hear my mother calling when the summer winds blow. I've made you first tomato soup because I love you so." Claire's big warm bus comes at last. Out of her window, Claire sees the bunny planet near the evening star in the snowy sky. "It was there all along," said Claire. And that is the end of that. That was the end of her dream out there in the snow. But she's thinking about the big, fat, juicy red tomato she's going to eat as soon as summer comes. Our last book today is called I Love My Daddy Because, and each page in the book shows a different daddy with his child. The first one is just a human daddy talking to his little girl. The last one, there's one of a lion, there's one of an eagle, and so on and so forth. So, here we go. I love my daddy because he plays with me. There shows a dad with a little girl playing some game with puppets. And here is a penguin and his chick because he keeps me safe and warm. And he brings me dinner. Here, the dad's bringing little fish for his baby penguin. And here's another one of a dad penguin standing on ice and the little bird is between his legs to keep warm. Here's the bald eagle. Because he is big and strong, there's a big bald eagle with his little chick. And here is a lion. I love my daddy because he takes naps with me. And now here is a beaver and his kit. I love my daddy because he can build a house. And there he is. The dad is biting sticks and building his little beaver den with that. There's his baby beaver standing there holding a stick. And that's what beavers do. They build sort of houses of sticks and sort of halfway into the water, and that's where they live. Here's a wolf and his little cub. I love my daddy because he sings me songs. And there's a loon, which is the type of bird that swims on the lake. He takes me for a ride, and loons carry their babies on their backs. Very beautiful. There's a gorilla and his baby. I love my daddy because he teaches me how to be brave. And a porcupine here. He teaches me to be careful. Oh, the red fox is teaching his cubs how to be careful, to stay away from that porcupine. Because you can get hurt very badly, even animals, if you get too close to a porcupine and he sends out his quills at you. Ooh, that'd be scary, wouldn't it? Coming across a big old porcupine. And here comes another one. I love my daddy because... And this is, these are some, a jaguar in a tree. It has sort of like a leopard with his babies. And some monkeys. I love my daddy because he plays hide and seek with me. And there the jaguar and his kitten are hiding in the trees. And there's also monkeys hiding and playing hide and seek within the trees, and the baby monkey says, I love my daddy because he plays hide and seek with me. And so does, and the jaguar is also doing sort of the same thing with his cub. And here's a musk oxen that looks sort of like a buffalo. He protects our family. And here is a moose that says, I love my daddy because he watches over me at night and keeps any bad things away. And here's the little girl again, and she's sound asleep on his shoulder. I love my daddy, and he loves me. That's a beautiful book to end with, isn't it? So, we've come to the end for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you again for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.